Well, listen, I want to thank each and every one of you guys and ladies for being here this morning. You get a chance to be in a great service today. We're going to be starting our new message series, and this has no connection to the chronological date. It has no connection to Valentine's Day. It has no connection to the month that all men really go above and beyond to impress their bride, right? Okay, but we're going to be on the whole month. We are going to be talking about love. Love is in the air. Come on, who else wants to sing that? See, I knew the oldies, the gray hair folks, they'll sing that. The love boat. Come on, who else? Come on, anybody? Come on. Oh, man. Come on now. Love potion number 9. Y'all like me, huh? Yep. I love the way you love me. Where's that from? The 90s? Early 90s? Yeah, yeah. I've been working on this, you know, because ever since I started growing this beard, my wife just cannot keep her hands off the beard. Off the beard, yeah. Off the beard. But love, love, love. We're going to be starting today on learning and talking about love. And specifically today, we're going to be learning about how to love others, not just eagerly, but very eagerly. Look at your wife and say, baby, I'm going to love you very eagerly. Come on. Now, you got to say it like you mean it this time, because she's going to expect it. She's going to expect it. Love others very eagerly. I want to ask you guys some questions. Okay, so what is something that you've done for someone? What is something that you've done for someone thinking it would help them to see that you love them? Guys, we mess up at this all the time, right? That's like, oh, we think this is really going to communicate that I love her, and it just like, walk, walk, right? You start like, no whammies, no whammies. It's got to work this year, and it doesn't work. But being love struck sometimes get the best of us. What have you done in order for someone else to prove their love to you? Like Janet Jackson, what have you done for me lately, right? I know some of y'all, that's like your theme song when you get home from work. And the husband's sitting there just twiddling his thumbs, and you break out that Janet Jackson song, right? What have you done for me? What is something that you required or was required of you to prove that you love someone? It was so funny. Whenever you have children, they learn how to use that. I don't know if they get that from Disney or some other little show they watch. Daddy, if you love me, you'll do blah, blah, blah. Dad, if you love me, you'll buy me this. Dad, if you love me, you'll let me go so-and-so with so-and-so. And you're like, no, because I love you, you're not leaving this house with so-and-so. If I didn't care about you, I'd just let you run, you know, but because I love you. But guys, talking about love. Love has been around for quite a while. Even before you oldies has been around. Love has been around since the beginning. Even before the earth was even created. God created the earth because he wanted to take care of his creations. What did he do? He made Adam and Eve. He wanted to express love to them. He created man in his image. He wanted to create love. If you guys dig through your Bible in an NIV version, you'll see that the word love is listed almost 700 times. Look at your husband and say, that's a lot of love. Come on, those of you who are single, just tell yourself, I'm a lot of love waiting to happen. Come on. Y'all gotta speak these things. Y'all gotta encourage yourself. Somebody's missing out on all this love. Come on. But talking about love, the Bible talks about it many, 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 many times. According to the dictionary, love can be used as a noun and as a verb. And either which way, there's like 4 or 9 different definitions, whether it be a noun or a verb. It's incredible how much the word love is used. And according to a traceable use of the word love, it goes all the way back to like the 12th century. Yeah, you thought you found love. It's been around here a while. Since the original manuscript of the Bible was written in mostly Hebrew and some Aramaic, okay, in the Old Testament, and the New Testament was written in Greek, I want to share with you some different types of love according to the Greek origins. I'm giving you guys a little history lesson. Y'all ready for this? So according to the ancient Greek, there's a couple of words, probably 3 or 4 words that describe or give definitions or variety or of love. And one of them is philia or phileo. Some people may pronounce it, but it's philia. Then you have eros and you have agape. Now, philia is a mental love. It's a love that begins or is between friends, okay? Friendship is the strong bond existing between two people or more that have common interests or common activities, okay? It includes a loyalty to friends. friends, loyalty to family, community. It's kind of like a brotherly love, so to speak. But many of us experience that as well. Now, the second Greek description or word for love is eros, okay? Eros is the physical love. It's the passionate love. It's the sensual desire and a longing for romance. How many of us like the eros love, okay? We get the word that we know, erotic, from the Greek word eros, and it's strongly marked or affected by sexual desire, okay? My wife has been really struggling with this eros love since I grew this beard, you know? I'm just picking. She hates it, hates it, hates it. You need to do something with that. I'm like, I am. Can't you see? So we're talking about this a while because I'm 43 years old and I have never been brave enough. Never have I been brave enough to grow facial hair. Because, you know, whenever I grow facial hair, there are no longer kisses from Brandy. And when you've been married 25 years almost, guess what? You can live with that, right? You can. Amen. Some of y'all got it. Yep, yep. No, but we just had this wild, crazy thought. We were out there in Crystal River, and I didn't feel like shaving that weekend. And they're like, let's just, a big team effort. Let's just go for it. And because all bald people grow beards. Right? 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 And then when you get past a certain age, you grow a belly. So I'm working on it. I'm working on it. No, I don't mean to distract you guys by this good-looking beard and things. But anyway, eros love. You know, here's the thing about eros love. It many times it's fueled by emotion. It's fueled by feeling. And there's not a lot of logic that goes with eros love. And I find that to be quite amusing because I meet couples all the time, all over the place. I counsel couples, and it's so funny how they may walk into my office. Some of them are married, some of them are not, and many of them have children, and they hate each other. They can't stand sitting in the same room with each other. And I'm like, how in the world did y'all, like, get together and have children if you hate each other this much? Was it mutual consent? I'm like, what? So I learned as I grow, it was the eros love got the best of them. Because there's no logic, right? You don't plan out how to raise children together when you're just dealing with eros love, right? Do you stop in the middle of your intimate time and say, you know what? I think we should be putting some money aside for our college, for our kids, and maybe we should be. No, it doesn't happen that way. You're just fueled by this emotional, this feeling. And all of you guys are laughing because you probably struggle with eros love as more than I have. You know, I'm just guessing. No logic there. But you'll see that there's another Greek word for love, and it's agape love. And that's really what we're going to be focusing on a whole lot on today, is talking about agape. Everybody say agape. Agape love means unconditional love. No strings attached. No songs to be written that what have you done for me lately. Unconditional love in a spiritual sense. That's really the only way we can get this level of love is from God. Agape is the love that brings forth caring regardless of the circumstances. So no matter if I'm grumpy or if I'm feeling mad or angry, this agape love is still going to come forth. It's still going to produce. It's going to bring forth care even amidst my own circumstances. Charity would be one description. Generosity and helpfulness, especially towards those in need or those who are suffering. Also, aid to be given to those in need could be a sign. Now, many people recognize that the greatest of loves is agape love, and they kind of see it specifically as a Christian virtue. Okay, so if you're going to experience or be around agape love, for the most part, you're going to be encountering the love of God. Can I get an amen? And once you experience agape love, you'll find yourself really focusing on agape love and the need to subordinate or to kind of drop or lower the rank of the other loves that we experience or that we long for. Because when you get a taste, oh, the Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. When you get a taste of agape love, no matter how good a loving your lady or your man has given you, guess what? It still doesn't compare to unconditional love of God. Amen. And I'm grateful. I'm grateful that I've had a chance to experience that. So now that I've given you guys a history lesson on love, we're done for the day. You can go home. I'm just lying. Y'all getting excited. How some of y'all still thinking about Eros love. Y'all foolish. Don't do that. So we're going to go to God's word in 1 Corinthians. You want to turn there. If anyone mentions the book of love, they're going to mention out of the Bible, it's going to be 1 Corinthians chapter, what? Chapter 13. And we're just going to get a taste of that right now. So 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 and 5 says, love is patient. My wife loves her husband. She's patient with me. Sandy loves her husband, Ken. Patient. Patient. I'm trying to win some brownie points. You guys know what I'm talking about, you know? Like Miss Cheryl loves her husband, Mr. Eric Persons. Can I get an amen? Patient. Love is patient. Everybody say love is patient. Love is kind. So I like how it gives you two things that love is. And then for a lot of us that always learn the hard way, we always choose like the wrong cup on the table. You guys get where I'm going? Guess what the Bible teaches us in that manner? It says, so love is patient, love is kind. Then it says, it does not envy. So it starts telling us, that's the wrong one. Envy is not love. Envy is not love. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. Man, the way I thought I provided love is just going way downhill when I compare myself to what the Scripture says love is not. Love is not self-seeking, and it is not easily angered. How many relationships are way off course when it comes to, well, I love you so much, that's why I act this way? No, the wrong love. We're not talking about, we'll say that. How many guys have done that before? How many of you ladies just got crazy? Like scrape vehicles, slash tires. I love you that much. They got songs about that. But anyway, no, that's not what love is. Love is not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. Oh, Lord. I'm going to get in trouble with this one, Mike. I really think God had a little sense of humor when he wrote this because he knew how hard it would be for men to be forgiven by their wives. And love says it keeps no record of wrongs. Now, I pick at Wendy a lot because I tell her, you got a brain of an elephant. Because she remembers everything. That has nothing to do with her. She still remembers it. Isn't that great, Miss Margaret? How many times she remind you of things that you want to forget? You know what I mean? So love keeps no record of wrong. Husbands, you still holding something over your wife's head that was way like last century? Guess what? Don't bring it up. If you're smart, don't bring it up. If you love her, don't bring it up. What about your children that acted like children? Don't rub it in their face every time. Love keeps no record of wrong. And that's hard. Somebody's going to say amen because you know how hard. It's really hard not to put something in someone's face that have done you harm or you've hurt because of it, right? Love keeps no record of wrong. Love is both a thing and an action. It's both a noun and a verb. It can be used at any given time. To love someone is to bless someone. And to bless someone is to love someone. Love. Everybody say love. In either case, as Mike says right there in your share, love is what best measured by behavior and action. Can I get an amen, wives? Can I get an amen, husbands? Can I get an amen, fathers and mothers? Sisters and brothers, love is best demonstrated by what? Behavior and action. Real love involves selfless giving. No matter where in your life, real love involves selfless giving. Therefore, a self-centered person, guess what? They can't truly love. They cannot truly love others if they are self-centered because love is selfless. God's love and forgiveness free us to take our eyes off of ourselves and begin to put our eyes and ourselves, our eyes on others and their needs. And Jesus did the same thing by sacrificing his life. He showed you, he showed me, he showed all of the world that he truly loved them by giving his all. Amen. 1 John chapter 4, verses 19 through 21. If you want to turn there, 1 John chapter 4, verses 19 through 21. I'm going to give you guys a second to just go ahead and turn there on your device or your paper Bible. That's a pretty awesome thing. Because you don't have to charge it. It stays charged up all the time. You don't have to look for the plug that goes in the wall because you used a different adapter last week or last month, last time you read the Bible. Guess what? It's always ready. Always ready. 1 John chapter 4, verse 19 through 21. It says, so you see, our love for him comes as a result of his loving us first. I never really understood the scripture as I started going to church. You see, our love for him comes as a result of his loving us first. If anyone says, I love God, but keeps on hating his brother, he is a liar. For if he doesn't love his brother, who is right there in front of him, how can he love God whom he has never seen? And God himself has said, everybody say, God himself said, he said that one must love not only God, but love his brother too. Because we will pride ourselves when we're struggling with the whole part of loving someone unconditionally or forgiving someone. We will pride ourselves, oh God, I love you. I thank you that I'm not like so-and-so. I'm thank you that my characteristics aren't like so-and-so. Thank you, Lord, that I don't treat people the way they treat people. You know, and we'll do that. We'll pride ourselves. God, I love you. I love you didn't let me turn out like my sister or my brother. Thank you, Lord. But yet, the Bible says here, God said himself that what? You know what? You must not love just him, but you better love your brother or sister as well. As well. Must not only love God, but his brother too. Have you ever thought that loving God actually enables you to love others? Think about that. As you begin to just express your adoration, your care, your concern, your love. As you love God, it actually enables you to love others. And that's what happened for me. See, I was super, super, super racist on a number of different levels. I had a lot of hatred for a lot of different things and a lot of different people, a lot of different lifestyles. Now, I still have a little righteous anger about some of it, but what I have learned is that as I grew closer to God, as I learned to love God, as I learned how in the world God chose to love me, it has given me the ability to what? Really love others. To really love others. People I've never met, people I've never known, and to be selfless and to be giving and to be supportive and to be what? Just receiving and to accept them where they are and bring them to a place of where God may have them go. But loving God enables us to love others. If we love, now here's the thing I've learned, is many times we will love others more than we love God. And if you disagree with me, look at your relational status. You'll love others before or more than you love God. Because God says, well, Jesus says, if you love me, you'll obey my commands. And I'm pretty sure we could go through a small list or maybe a large list of things that you're continuing to do that are against God's word, but yet you're trying to communicate to someone that you love them. Are you following me? If we love God first, if we love God most, we will love others best, okay? The Bible says in, 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 and 8, so we're just going to go back a few verses. It says, dear friends, let us practice loving each other, for love comes from God, and those who are loving and kind show that they are the children of God. I love the Bible. I don't know if you ever noticed this yet, but it says right here, dear friends, let us practice loving each other. It doesn't say let us master loving each other, right? Right? I'm still practicing learning how to love everybody. And I think you're doing the same thing, right? Practice and practice makes what? Unless you practice wrong, then you just go practice wrong and you'll never be perfect. What I'm getting at, guys, practice loving. It should be a daily activity, a monthly thing that you toil with, that you work with, that you work out. Loving each other, for love comes from God, and those who are loving and kind show that they are children of God. Those that are loving and kind show that they are children of God. You know what is embarrassing? Been in the church since 1993, been involved in ministry since the late 1997. I have seen many, 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 many times, and Mike would agree, that we have seen displays of love more so from people outside the walls of any church than we have seen inside the walls of churches. That's embarrassing. Come on now. We had a lot of fighting growing up. I was raised in the hood. There was fights in the first grade, second grade, third grade, all the way to no grade, okay? Fights, fights, fights. And you go to church and you expect not to see fights, right? People get nasty up in the church house. Not fellowship church. We thank God for that. We'll run you out here in a quick second. We got all kind of churches down the road we will send you to. They will love you. We love you too, but we love you too much to leave you the same. Amen? So what I'm getting at, guys, is when we love God, it's going to show up in the way that we treat others. We're going to be identified as children of God when we love others, when we are kind to others. And it says right here's the proof. Here's the awesome part of this scripture. It says right here that, you know, for love comes from God, and those who are loving and kind show that they are children of God, and that they are getting to know who better? It's not up there. Getting to know who? Is it right there? Getting to know him. Him better. Him. So the more that we love others shows that we're getting to know him better. Because the more that you get a chance to know him better, you'll learn about patience. Because when you got to go to God for the 432nd time to ask for forgiveness for your stubborn ways, you learn about love keeps no record of wrong. Amen? When you ask Jesus to forgive you for the same thing you've been doing for 10 years, you're grateful for the love of God. And you begin, you know what, I'm just not going to expect someone. I'm not going to hold this over you anymore. Man, you are free to keep on sinning. You're free to keep on hurting me. I'm going to love you anyway. That's amazing. Because that's what God does with us. Now, he loves you, but he's expecting some change. It goes along with it. Verse 8 says, but if a person isn't living in kind, it shows that he does not know God, for God is love. However, as human beings, we so often, we kind of get this wrong, you know. We do not love God with all of our strength, but instead we get lured into showing all of our love to either other people or other things. So as I shared this morning in the growth track, is God first in your life? Do you love God? Do you love God? Because if you love God, he's going to come first. You're going to put him first. And whenever we put him first, you'll see that all the other things we struggle with begin to weaken. They begin to lessen. But most of the time, we get lured into loving either other things or other people. Our relationships suffer whenever our love for God suffers. When we or anything else that's possible to come up in our lives, we become so supreme, guess what? Our love for God begins to get cheapened. It begins to get diseased. Our love for others begins to get distorted or tainted. And love ends up devolving into whatever we wish for. And I'm going to tell you what, these days, the way people think love is, it's eternally deceptive. Eternally deceptive, what people are classifying or considering love. Because my Bible says that God is love. And to love God is to love his word. And to love his word is to obey his word. I love the ameners. We're going to get out here early. I feel it. I feel it. So here's the good thing we should do. And when we talk about loving others very eagerly, one of the best things that you can do in order to love others very eagerly is to reassess exactly how we love God. Think about this. Think about how we love God and how that's affecting the way we love others. Are we showing God affection? Are we showing God affection as some sort of unspoken contract so that we show him affection so that we can get some blessings? We show him affection so we can get some forgiveness. We show him affection so that we can get a little promotion or a little guidance. Because if we're doing that with God, I promise that is showing up in other areas of your life, including those you love. It could be your children. It could be your coworkers, your family, whoever you're dating, you're not dating, whatever the case is. Are you living this life to love someone is to get something back in return? That's not how we ought to love God. We got to love God because you know what? He first loved us. He loved us before we even got a little glimpse in our eye, a little twinkle about all his greatness. Guess what? He already loved us. God is almighty. He's powerful. He's glorious. And he's sovereign. And when we love God for who he is, that'll help us to love others for who they are. Brandy and I were married about 3 years, and we had some big-time difficulties, probably because I brought a lot of that to the table. But one thing that we learned in that marital difficulty, although we both loved each other deeply, there was one fault, there was one slip-up amongst the many, is that we thought the other person could fulfill us in all areas. That's where we went wrong in our marriage. Our Christian marriage, we went wrong thinking that the other person could thoroughly fulfill each other. That's putting God in second place. And because we put God in second place, the marriage that we thought we gave to him was falling apart. Can I get an amen? You have to put God first. Love God first. When we love God for who he is, we will love others for who they are. So the flaws and the things that upset me about Brandy, instead of me being upset with him and saying, man, I chose the wrong one. I can't believe I didn't see this. And she said the same. I can't believe I didn't see this coming. I instead, I'm going to love her for who she is. This is who she is. And if I didn't see this part of her at the time, maybe I was blind. But guess what? I'm going to love her nonetheless. That's how God made her. I'm not talking about sin and just rebellious and being a knothead. I'm talking about just our personalities, the way we think, the way we say no, the way we say yes, the things we like, the things we don't like, our viewpoints. Love them for who they are. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 to 15 says right here, for Christ's love compels us because we are convinced that one died for all. Who's that one? Jesus. For Christ's love compels us because we are convinced that one died for all. Jesus died for all, and therefore all died. What does that mean? You'll learn in the next verse. 15, and he died for all that those who live should no longer live for themselves. Who are those that live? You can't live unless you live in Christ. The Bible says that clearly. So, you know, you chase after life trying to live your life, you're going to lose it. But if you lose your life, just like the scripture says, for my sake, then you will find it. Then you will gain it. Then you will attain this life you're really trying to look for. Verse 15 says, and he died for all, for those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. That's love. This is where love comes from right here, that Jesus loved us so much so that he substituted. He took our place in paying for the sins of ourselves. But not only that, he bore and took the place. He substituted for sin of all humanity. That is amazing. That'll make you fall all over back in love with him again. When you realize that it wasn't just your sin he paid for, he carried on the cross, he felt, but it was a sin of all humanity. That is amazing. That's the kind of God I want to love. That's the kind of God I want to receive love from. Amen? 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22 says, Now you can have real love. Come on, tell your neighbor. He's talking about real love. Some of y'all falling asleep. I don't even know how. I'm trying to get you set up for Valentine's Day, and y'all sleeping on the job. Right here, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. Now you can have real love for everyone. Why? Pasque in Creole. Because your souls have been cleansed from selfishness and hatred. What? When? When did this happen? When you trusted Jesus Christ to save you. When you trust Jesus. So not only are you getting to go to heaven, not only are you getting to be forgiven from Jesus, it says right here that, look, now you can have real love for everyone because your souls have been cleansed from selfishness and hatred. If you're really saved, you're going to be cleansed from selfishness and hatred when you trust Christ to save you. So see to it that you really do love each other warmly. Everybody say warm. 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 You love each other warmly, earnestly, eagerly means with all your heart. You have this holy conviction to love others. Is it a job to love others at times? It's even harder to tell them you love them, right? I love you from a distance. The world looks... No, I'm just joking. But he says that he'll cleanse us from selfishness and hatred. Wow. You guys see what I'm... If you love God, you give your life to him, you accept the love that he has to show you, guess what happens? You begin to get purged and cleansed of selfishness and hatred. I think everybody's going to like that. That's a win-win situation. Amen? In other words, our commitment to one another should be as earnest, as warm, as convicting as what? As John says. And this is where it gets a little deep. This is where we get scared. And if whatever we don't know or we're scared of, we kind of distance ourselves away. I want to be a Christian, but I don't want to be a Christian like it says right here in 1 John chapter 3, 16 through 18. Because it says, this is how we know what love is. Y'all remember that song? I want to know what love is. Come on, what was that? Back in the 80s, maybe? 80? But right here, this is how we know what love is. Teenagers. This is how we know what love is. Husbands, wives, friends, brothers, sisters, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in what? Not in greed, in need, but has no pity on him or no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? I'm going to slow down. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need and has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Verse 18 says, dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but what? Actions and that's the ones the recipient of the love doesn't like when we tell them the truth. See, because you can love people that are living in sin. You can love people that are blatantly blaspheming the word of God. You can love them in truth. Silence by Christians is not a sign that you love them. I'm sorry, let me say that again. Silence is not a sign that you love them. Speaking the truth in love is a sign that you love them. And I expect the same thing from you. Speak the truth in love, also in actions. So what is lay down our life? Because I know you're thinking, man, Jesus was crucified. We're supposed to be like Jesus. No, I'm not telling you to go out and pick 12 disciples. Because it won't take you far to grab some knotheads like Judas. They're all around, okay? I'm not telling you go and pick out 12 disciples and perform great miracles and be crucified. It's not what we're supposed to do. We don't want to be a copy of Jesus, but we want to follow the examples that he gave to us. So lay down our life is to lay down our plans. Man, I really got to go to this thing. I really got this plan. I can't mess this up. You know, you just come in here and you got this silly need. Oh, why couldn't you go to my neighbor? Why couldn't you go to so-and-so? They don't have no life. They don't have kids. They don't have stuff to do. They could be doing that for you. No, lay down your life is to lay down your plans. Lay down your profits. Lay down your prosperity so that others, someone in need, may be able to benefit from that. That's selfless. Our passions, our desires. Lay down our passion, our desires, so that other people in need can have. Does that make sense? So even though I really, 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 really want to go fishing bad and I know where to go and the tides are right and I can catch me some fish all by myself, the loving thing to do would be to invite me. Because I don't get to go fishing and I need that time. I need that time. You guys get where I'm going? I'm trying to drop a little hint for some of you men. Y'all ladies are getting me, right? The men are slow. But honestly, guys, listen, when you want to express your love to someone, be selfless. Lay down those things that you put before an opportunity to show love. That's all I'm asking, just to show love. Not say it, but show it. Amen? Love. Everybody say love. Selfless giving. It reaches beyond our friend. Here's where you can really begin to see love others very eagerly, is when you begin to love enemies. That neighbor you got. Oh, the one that shoots you the bird every time you pass in front of the bus stop going 18 miles an hour because it has a 20 miles an hour limit, and you drive a different vehicle, he thinks it's a different person, so he shoots you off too. Listen, love the person. I gave him the opportunity. I said, sir, did you shoot the bird at me 2 days ago? Oh, no, because I didn't see it. Aiden saw it, and I didn't see it, so I wasn't going to, like, so I politely brought on my window because, like, did you shoot? No, that wasn't me. I said, are you sure? I said, because if you did, then we can settle it. We can take care of this. I'm a cool guy. We can get along. I said, I'm a cool guy. We can get along. But if you shoot me the bird, let's talk. Let's talk. Somebody else had a talk with him, I hear. And it ended up a fight in the middle of the road, the dirt road, gravel in the teeth and everything else. That was not the kind of love I want to show the man, okay? I want to show the man, hey, you know what? I respect what you're trying to establish here, a safe zone for your children. And you can communicate that in a very nice, polite way, right? You can do number one like this, like. You can do that. Or you could use the one you're using, and it causes a lot of conflict. You guys know what I'm talking about? Y'all act like y'all live, like, in Memphis at Graceland, you know, just nice. No neighbors, no problems with people. What about the person that you work with? The same old nasty habits every day, and doesn't care a lick about the way you feel about it. Oh, that sounds like a spouse. Not mine. But honestly, guys, I'm talking about love, selfless love. I wish they would just do it my way. Well, maybe you should just let it go and let them do it their way and love them through it. Love them through it. Oh, he's just always washing these whites with the darks. Stay out the washroom. Stay out the utility room. I'm just trying to help, babe. You're helping the wrong way. You make everything worse. We don't have those problems. We took care of that a long time ago. Some of y'all men got this little smirk like it just happened, like, when hunting season comes around, you try to pull that on her, huh? You don't wash this with your clothes. Got me smelling like perfume and obsession up in the woods. No. Then she gets you back and goes and gets manure out of the field. Oh, you want to smell earthly? Got you earthly. But honestly, guys, see, we can laugh because we can put up with some stuff when we love people, when we get something back out of them. See, I can put up with Brandy more than I can somebody else in here because I love Brandy, you know, more than I love you. So I'll put up with her. I'll put up with so-and-so. But what about the people that push us past the edge and they don't look like they're going anywhere fast? Look at the way God looks at you. This may not be preached at every Sunday morning, but that's how I get myself back in the check. And love me so long. And love me so long. You see, what we do is when we get hurt by people, we won't only allow distance to happen between us. We'll put some miracle grow on that distance. Right? When they let you down, when they hurt you, we just put a little Miracle-Gro in that distance, because I'm not going to say anything mean to you. I don't want to harm you or hurt you because I'm a Christian, you see. But you want that distance. Why? Because you don't want to have to express love to them. Is that what God does? Is that what God does? Just think about that. I know it's selfless things I'm talking about, but we got to do it. Amen? Love that we express should be expressed by the unifying force that should be identifying us as Christians is the love that we express, not say, but express to our community. We cannot grow spiritually while we hate others. Write that down. I got so on fire for God, man, I want to chase hard after you. And the first thing he did, he said, you gotta love your stepdad. I'm like, for real though? I hadn't talked to the guy in 10 years. You right. I'm going to talk to him. I'm going to love him though. No. You guys ever struggle with that? Like you just want to grow in God. You want to just get on fire for God and just have the presence of God, the Holy Spirit, the Shekinah glory. You know what I'm talking about. And then he drops that on you. What about so-and-so you still hate? You cannot grow spiritually if you're still hating someone. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. A growing relationship with God results in growing relationships with others. If your relationship with God is growing, you're going to want to be around others. You're going to want to be around others, especially those who serve and love Him. You're going to want to team up. You want to be part of a unifying force. Amen? 1 John 2:9 says this, 1 John 2:9, if anyone claims I'm living in the light but hates a fellow believer, that person is still living in darkness. That'll hurt your feelings real quick. I've been in this church 15 years, 10 years. I love so-and-so. But if you hate a fellow believer, that person is still living in darkness. You're still living in darkness if you have this hatred for a fellow believer. Anyone who loves a fellow believer is living in the light and does not cause others to stumble. Oh, my goodness. Oh, when you're bad-mouthing that church member, when you're bad-mouthing that fellow believer, guess what? You're causing other people to stumble. Y'all remember in junior high, you get your buddy, and you say, look, we're going to get Drew. And you go to walk and talk to Drew, and your buddy goes behind him and gets down on his hands and knees behind him, and Drew has no clue, and you just push him, and he falls over. You guys, man, that was like a fad, like this little things they did a couple years ago. You know what I mean? But that's how you do your church members and your family and your friends is when you badmouth them, you cause other people to stumble because they're looking at you wondering, why are you going to that building every Sunday burning all that gas and yet you're still badmouthing people you go to church with? You're still badmouthing the people you so say love. Are y'all hearing me? I know this sounds simple and primary, but we may need a little freshener, a little refresh, a little update. We've got to love people. And I know it's hard. We've got to obey God's word. That scripture continues on right here. It says, you cause others to stumble. So, but if your believer is living light, then you're not causing others to stumble. But anyone who hates a fellow believer is still living and walking in darkness. Very confusing. Very confusing. Such a person does not know the way to go, having been blinded by the darkness. Blinded by the darkness, not the light, because why? I still have hatred against my fellow brother or sister. And the last thing I want to share. Does it mean that if you dislike a Christian or a brother that you're doing wrong? It's okay to not like someone as much as you like someone else. It's okay to not like someone as much as you don't like the other person. Because we're all different. And that's what I love about God. He created us all different. Can I get an amen? Amen. All different. And our job is to do what? To love others as He loves us. Well, Pastor, I have a real hard time loving so-and-so. I just don't feel it. Here's one thing I learned. Love is not a feeling. Love is not a feeling. Love is a decision, and we can get into that a little bit further. But what I want you to write down right now is Christian love is not a feeling, but rather Christian love is a choice. It's a choice. And once you choose, your choice is not contingent upon the result. Does that make sense? When you choose to love others, that means the future, the way I love you, is not going to be contingent upon the results of me giving you my love and the way you receive it. Because God's love is always one direction. He's always giving. He's always providing that love for us if we're willing to take it. Christian love is not, it's about the attitude, Okay? I make a choice to love. If we choose to love others, God will give us the necessary strength and the willpower to act that out. Amen? Let's love others very eagerly. And one of the ways that you can love others very eagerly, worship team, as you come up, one of the ways that you can love others very eagerly is to share your faith with them. You'll be able to see the power of influence that you may have in their life that you didn't know just months or weeks ago when you begin to share about your testimony and your faith in God, and they actually sit there and they listen, and their demeanor kind of changes. You see a sense of interest come out. Are you following me? That's a sign to them that you love them. And this is it's older than dirt. But if you're going down a highway and the bridge is totally gone and there's a 500 meter or foot drop and nothing there but just death, how many of you would be screaming at the edge of that bridge, screaming, "There's a bridge out, there's a bridge out"? You guys have heard that, right? You would do that because you love people, you care, you don't want them to get hurt. Well, that's the same thing. If you love those around you, not just loving them where they are only, but sharing why it is that you love God. How is it that God loves you and loves them? And invite them to know God. Invite them to experience the same love that you are experiencing. Amen? The way that you can do that is inviting someone to church. You can invite them to a small group. You can invite them to your own home or some kind of gathering where they get a chance just to see a glimpse into the Christian world. That's what happened with Brandy and me. I met her at a little teen club. A week or two later, worked it out where I was going to her house. I get there on a Wednesday. It's the day I had off. I drove an hour and 20 minutes to get to her house. It was good. Gas was like 92 cents a gallon back then. But that 360 liked gas. So anyway, when I got over there and I get out of the vehicle and I'm expecting this just huge welcome, you know what I mean? No, they're all getting out the house and going into the vehicle, leaving. I was like, am I at the right house? Where are you going? Oh, we're going to church. Would you like to come? We just talked on the phone an hour and 20 minutes ago because we don't have cell phones back then. And I said I was coming. Well, we're going to church. Would you like to come? That one invite changed the rest of my life. Isn't that amazing? Just a simple invite. Let's pray. Father, we ask God, Lord, that we would be able to, first of all, love you. We don't need your help in asking you to help us love you, God. You've already loved us. You've already poured out, God, relentless amounts of love. And God, as we get a taste of that, Lord, we begin to love you. I can't preach enough. I can't preach specifics of where these people need to love others. I don't even know their lifestyle, their situation, their interaction with others. I have no clue. But God, you speak into their hearts today. God, you're giving them a visual, a clear picture of what it is they need to do this week and to work on in the next coming month. God, will we accept your love here this morning so that we can love others? Right now, if you want to accept God's love, you want to accept salvation, you want to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I just ask that you lift up your hand. If this morning you want to leave here in love with your Creator, all you got to do is lift up your hand and we'll pray a prayer together. Maybe you've prayed that prayer and you've experienced him, but lately it's just been null. It's just been quiet. It's just been void. You haven't really felt God's love. Just lift up your hand. Don't be embarrassed. I get that way many times. I hold up two hands. I'm just not feeling God's love. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Well, just as I said earlier, loving is not a feeling but a choice, and God chose and still chooses to love you. So would you just accept that today? Would you just bask in who He is? Quit asking for things. Quit expecting things. Wanting signs and direction. Just love Him for who He is. Read through Psalms and begin to see all the great things that He does and He is. And you'll fall right back in love with God. Father, as the worship team sings the song, God, I pray that we would get connected with You, whether it be at the altar or in our chairs. May we spend just a few moments getting a taste of Your love. Amen.